Adventures in Artslandia.
Today, I have the very good fortune to talk by phone to Corey Brunish. He lives in Portland, and many of you may have already seen him in a show or crossed paths with him or seen a show in the hall that he named for his mother, Virginia, Brunish Hall at Portland 5. So he is deeply rooted into the Portland theater scene, but he's also a big part of the New York theater scene. In fact, he just flew back to New York for the Tony Awards yesterday, and I'm talking to him in New York right now by phone. Hey, good morning.
It's true. Good morning to you.
Well, that's right. It's my morning. It's your afternoon.
It's true.
So now, you were just in a production of Man of La Mancha that Greg Damblin directed.
Correct.
And how was that experience?
It was glorious.
Yeah.
Some of us had done the show before, 11 years ago, and so this was revisiting, and of course it affords a great opportunity to re-explore, re-examine, and regrow into the roles. And so that was a fascinating experience, especially since all of us now have 11 more years of life experience to put into the characters.
That is so true. It is so much fun to go back to a role that you haven't played in a while. It just automatically deepens it. It's really exciting. And I bet you have lots of wonderful relationships with all the other actors in the show.
I do. These people have, you know, have been peers of mine for, you know, decades. And, and so we have a great working relationship, a great shorthand, and we feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
With each other on stage, and that of course is a great feeling.
Yeah, and it brings so much to the experience. I think it just brings a deepening of those relationships that make the show so much deeper, and it's beautiful.
Yes, I agree. And if there was any doubt that Man of La Mancha is a deep and beautiful show, you know, there's no doubt no longer.
That is great. Well, Portland Opera is doing Man of La Mancha next season.
I know. I can't wait.
I just heard that. So you are in New York for the Tony Awards, and also you were last week in Portland for the PAMTA Awards, which you are a big part of, and those were awfully beautiful. I heard great things about them.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good year. It was our ninth year, and it's nice to have seen the relationship with the community grow over the years, and we're looking forward to our 10th next year. And it's just a very supportive, loving, nurturing, and thrilling sharing of acknowledging one another's efforts over the last 12 months.
Mm. And just so people know, PAMTA is Portland Area Music Theater Awards.
That's correct, Musical Theater Awards. That's mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Yeah. It's a great time to celebrate. It's excellent.
Yes, I agree.
So let's see, Man of La Mancha. You've done CDs. You've been nominated for a Grammy. You've had gotten
seven Tony nominations, two awards so far.
Seven Tony.
I'm up for my third award on Sunday.
And tell us what that is for.
Oh, that's for Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
And I also have another dog in the hunt as an investor, not as a producer.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference. And that's for Shuffle Along, which is up against Hamilton. Which do you think is going to win?
Oh, I don't know. I just saw an excerpt of Shuffle Along on TV. And wow, I just am a huge Savion Glover fan. And what an incredible show.
It is an incredible show. It got even more incredible after we cut a half hour out of it.
Oh, my goodness. What is that like to be in that kind of process at the Broadway level?
Well, it's the reason I'm here. I, on my very first producing project, I was assistant director. And ever since then, which was Bonnie and Clyde, then I've attempted to negotiate rehearsal access for every show that I've produced and have been somewhat successful. And to me, that's the cherry on top of the cake. It's exciting to produce a show. It's exciting to be considered for Tonys. But being part of the process and actually giving feedback and seeing that feedback come to fruition on the stage, eight shows a week at $150 a seat, that's the thrill for me.
That sounds, I mean, I know how much fun it is to be in the room, you know, here in Portland, and I love that creative process. Is very exciting.
Yep, it's what we live for.
Yeah. So you've got the Tonys tomorrow.
Yep.
I have to ask just kind of a crazy brass tacks question before we get into all the ins and outs of being a producer and what things you like about it best. But, you know, what time do you start getting ready?
My fiance Jessica starts getting ready like a week ahead.
Okay, good. She's got her nails done and everything already, I'm sure.
It's the mani-pedi.
Yeah.
And then there's the hair and the eyes and the shoes and the dress. And so it's a process where the guy, as we all know, the guy throws on a tux.
Jeez. Oh, it just sounds like so much fun.
And I had my mani-pedi yesterday. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so now let's get down to the brass tacks. Now, first of all, you started out as an actor, and you got a BA in theater. Is it music? It's in theater from Occidental, right?
Correct.
And then you moved here to Portland, and you started working in various ways in the theater and otherwise. Then you
correct.
Tell me more.
Tell me more. Well, it
did
was
you get very far?
It was a natural progression, as it is for a lot of actors to direct. And you know, I'm an actor, so I say this with full knowledge of what I'm saying. But the child is the actor, and the parent is the director.
Mm-hmm.
And they're two completely different disciplines. As an actor, you're only worried about yourself. And as the director, you're worried about the whole thing. And so you have to get along with everybody, the technicians, the designers, maybe the authors in the room, and the actors. And you have to be their shrink when needed. And so, but that's a job I embrace. I don't have a problem with that. I enjoy that process the most of all. Producing is essentially directing by proxy. Now, directors will not like that comment, but the fact of the matter is, and I don't like getting notes as a director. I don't like it at all, and yet that's essentially what I do for a living now. But the director needs to understand that they're in the trenches and are involved emotionally with the actors and with the piece, whereas the producer is looking at it with what we call baby eyes. He's coming in from the outside as an audience member and saying, does this work? Do I like this? Does this make sense? Can we do better? And so the art of the producer, besides raising the money, of course, and marketing the piece properly, is to couch any feedback to the director that will make him want to hear it and to feel that it's valuable and to understand the betterment of the project is what is at hand. Now, you might think there are a lot of egos on Broadway, but the fact is that ego is usually not a part of it for the simple reason that when there's $12 million on the line, everybody wants it to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And if your idea is the better idea, that idea wins. It's not the person that wins, it's the idea.
Right.
So if you come up with an idea, or the janitor or the sound man, and it's a good idea, it will get used because everybody wants the show to succeed.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Mm. It's not about who said it. It's about, does it work? Does it make sense?
Right. So would you prefer to kind of continue in the producing mode, or would you continue to direct? Or are you just, I mean, I know for myself as an artist, things come down the pike and you are open to what comes your way, and then you decide, I'll do this, I'll do that. But what would be your pleasure in the next, you know, year?
Well, I love to act because it reminds me how devilishly difficult it is, and that's something very important when you're directing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to forget that. And I don't know how directors can direct if they haven't acted. I just don't know how they do it.
Mm.
Because how can there be a rapport with the discipline that you don't understand. And the actors know that. They look at you and they think, well, you've never done it. So I prefer to keep my acting muscle somewhat flexed.
Mm-hmm.
Directing is my métier. That's what I want to do. That's what I would do every day if I could. And producing is what I enjoy right now because I seem to be fairly good at it.
And you really enjoy giving a show those wings to get attention, and to keep telling the stories that they want to tell.
Correct. And make no mistake, I'm part of a team here. The average Broadway show has maybe 30 producers, but some of them are not involved. Most of them, few of them, rarely is a producer involved in the day-to-day rehearsals. And, and that's what I attempt to negotiate with my contract.
What are the types of stories and pieces that you are interested in seeing in future? I mean, Hamilton obviously has kind of broke the mold in many ways, not to say that there aren't many other molds to break. Do you see something on the horizon that's going to really be thrilling and exciting and new?
I do, and that's a very good question. I'm very excited about a couple shows coming up next season that I feel are unique and have a great story. I mean, that's what I look for as a producer. There's three things I want to know. Do I want to see it? Do I think others want to see it? And does it add anything to the conversation? And by the conversation, I mean the conversation that humanity is having every day with itself and with each other and with the world and the cosmos. And does it have anything to add? Is it important in some way? Even if it's a comedy, is it important in some way? Right. Okay. So the two coming up next season are a show called Come From Away.
Yes.
Now, that's an odd title, but in Newfoundland, Canada, instead of saying he's from out of town, you say he's come from away.
Mm-hmm.
So the musical addresses 9/11 without addressing 9/11. What happened was 37 airplanes were diverted to Newfoundland's airport during 9/11 because they could not enter U.S. airspace, which means about 4,000 people had to be placed into the homes of strangers in this small town in Newfoundland for 2 weeks until they were given clearance to take off. And it's a singular story in the history of the world where strangers got along with strangers and forged lifelong relationships because of this tragedy. And so it's an incredible story and an incredible musical, and I've never seen anything like it, and I can't wait to see it on Broadway.
Now, you're involved as a producer?
I am.
That's fantastic. I had the great fortune to audition several times for that show and was heartbroken not to have a place in it in Seattle where it started out. And I know Rodney Hicks from Portland is involved.
Rodney is. he actually got involved down in La Jolla where I saw it and joined the team. But, you know, don't worry, Susanna, because it will run for years on Broadway and we'll put you in the cast at some point.
Okay, well, I'm so glad I have that recorded. I just fell in love with that script, the beauty, the love of it, the showing the most beautiful aspects of the human experience right next to the most horrible. It is a stunning show, and I just cannot wait to see it.
Well, bless you for saying that. The other show that I'm excited about as an investor is called Dear Evan Hansen.
Mm.
And it is a story of how Facebook has changed our world in many, many, many ways, including things like suicide.
Mm.
And it sounds like a downer, but it's not. It's just a very well-told tale with great music.
Pasek and Paul are hot as can be.
Exactly. And what better time to have a musical about Facebook than right now?
Yes. Oh, that sounds wonderful. That's got oodles of buzz. I mean, both of those shows are really, everyone's looking forward to them who are theater goers and theater thinkers.
Right. And that one sold out off Broadway. You couldn't get a ticket.
Wow.
For that one.
Oh, that's wonderful. So now, while you're in New York for the Tonys, I'm sure you're going to be working as well and looking in on the various shows you're involved with. What are you looking forward to doing this week?
Well, I need to catch up. I need to see all the shows I missed while I was in Portland. And, of course, check in on my favorites. I have four up right now, Beautiful, the Carole King musical, which is coming to Portland in November, by the way. I recommend everybody see it. It will change your life for the better.
It is fantastic. I've seen it twice. I saw it in London, and I saw it in New York. And incredible.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I actually had the unique opportunity to watch Carole King watch the show in London on opening night.
No, my gosh.
Yeah. She, every time she would love a moment, she would lean over and whisper to her daughter about it.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
And then we have Fiddler that's playing, Matilda that's playing, and of course, Act of God, and of course, Shuffle Along. So I guess I have five.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, Matilda, yeah. I have to say, has been running for a while, but that show is out of the box. I saw it in New York and adored it. I mean, there's so much good stuff out right now.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's an exciting time. And, of course, Hamilton has really raised the bar and brought everyone's attention to Broadway. And we're having our record years in terms of box office. And that's healthy for everybody.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's really lovely to see so many people getting to the theater. And I'm just curious because, of course, every time I go to New York, I think I'm going to get a ticket for a Broadway show and the prices get steeper and steeper and you can barely, I don't even know if you can get a ticket for Hamilton for under $200 now. I mean, if you can't even get one, but what are the types of things that are happening in New York to try to expand theater for people who are not able to pay that type of price?
Well, Hamilton just doubled their allotment of $10 tickets.
Mm-hmm. How do they distribute those?
Electronics lottery.
Mm, okay, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's 42 tickets per night at $10.
Wow.
The other thing is that there are tons and tons of websites that give 40% off coupons for free.
Right.
You just have to do your research. There's rush seats, there's student seats.
Mm-hmm. You can stand online.
Right, there's standing room only. I mean, there's partial view. I mean, there are many, many, many ways to see a Broadway show for $30.
Right.
There's even a program called 30 Under 30. It's $30 if you're under 30.
Oh, that's great to know. My daughter just moved to New York, and she's under 30.
There you go. Well, I should hope so. You're only 28.
That's right. Corey, I love you twice.
So there are many ways to get in to see a show and not pay the tourist price, as we call it.
Right. Right. Well, what are you going to do today? You're going to see a matinee, you said, mentioned you might.
We're going to see a matinee, and then we're going to stop by the Beacon and check on the Tony Awards rehearsal.
Mm.
And and then, you know, as I say, we need to catch up. We need to see some shows.
Mm.
Jessica is a CPA, so she was doing the taxes there in Portland while I was on stage.
Wow.
And so now we're on this coast, and we have to do our due diligence. We see about 120 shows a year.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
It is. Luckily, we both work out, so our bodies do not become the shape of a theater seat.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and everyone's going to love hearing about what you're up to, and just have a wonderful time at the Tony Awards, and we'll be watching for you guys.
It was my pleasure, and fingers crossed.
Yeah, indeed. I send you guys a lot of love, and safe travels back. Hope you come back soon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Adventures in Artslandia.